When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts on the mind of a cartoonist. So, without going into too much of my life, last week was a GD mess for me. So, I started out the first week of April doing an update of Thunder Punch Daily every day, and I thought to myself, boy, wouldn't it be cool if I could do one every day this month? And then last week happened, and life just got in the way. Crazy, hectic schedule got in the way. The next 2 months are going to be crazy for me in the lead up to Kids Read Comics and with all the free workshops I'm doing for the Super Fun Tour. Prepping for Kids Read Comics proper, I'm at the point now where we got to start designing the programming schedule, you know, scheduling cartoonists to lead workshops. And that's all on me, is to work with them to figure out what workshops work best and when. Doing the guest list, more site updates, designing the program. There's a whole bunch of new art that we got to put on the website. There's a lot for me to do on top of my already busy schedule of teaching. I'm currently teaching 2 weekly classes right now. Plus, I've got a whole bunch of little workshops interspersed here and there on top of all of the free workshops I'm doing. It's pretty nuts right now. But anyway, I'm going to do my best to stay on top of Thunder Punch Daily alongside of it. As a matter of fact, this coming Friday, let's see, what is that? Today is Tuesday, April 19th. The Friday this week, I'm going to be doing a workshop, which is 3 hours away. So I'm going to be driving 3 hours there, doing an hour and a half workshop, and then driving 3 hours back. I'm probably going to record some Thunder Punch Dailies in the car on my way. But don't worry, everybody. I'm going to wear my headset when I do it. So both hands will be on the wheel, and I'm going to be driving through some backcountry roads where there's going to be no traffic. So it'll be safe, but I'm going to definitely use that opportunity where I can't be doing anything else to be doing some recording. But anyway, covers. So looking through the website, the artandstorypodcast.com website, the last time we had a full cover discussion, like a nerdy philosophical and theoretical discussion on comics covers, was Art and Story 128, by my reckoning, which was, that was a year ago. How about that? April 20th, 2010. Today's April 19th. So yeah, just about a year ago was the last time we really talked about this in any kind of great depth and detail. And I was inspired to broach this topic again because a wonderful art and storyer, let me look up his name real quick, so I want to make sure, Victor Mayer, McGurk68 on the Twitters, pointed me at this terrific blog called Covered, coveredblog.blogspot.com, and I will link to it in the show notes. And what it is it's a site where they take famous or well-known comics covers and then have artists reinterpret them in their own style. And these reinterpretations can be changing the vantage point, changing the entire art style, changing the color palette. Really interesting stuff. And man, was I tempted when I saw this. I was like, gosh, I'd like to try my hand at some covers that really have grabbed me. And I was talking with Jamie Gamble of Omnitarium.com on the Twitters, and he suggested maybe a cool art and story thing would be to take covers by other storiers and have other storiers reinterpret them. That's an interesting idea. And if Jamie hasn't posted this in the forum by the time this episode goes live, perhaps I will. I'd love to get you guys' take on this as a you know, point, as an art and story challenge, something that'd be fun to do. But as I thought about it, I also thought, you know, what did we talk about in that art and story episode, episode 128? Now, I have not gone back to listen to this. I rarely go back and listen to old episodes. One, it's a time consideration. I've got other podcasts to listen to. I was already there for the discussion. And what's more is, as many of you, I'm sure, would agree, it's tough to listen to yourself talk sometimes. Although there's Mark and Kevin there to make it peppy for me to listen to again. But in that episode, it looks like we focused mostly on, I mean, yeah, the title of the episode was The Big Magazine Cover. And so I think we focused our discussion on floppy comics, monthly comics, magazine-style comics. And we covered a whole bunch of different, we broke it down into types. I probably did this because that's the kind of nerdy, stupid thing that I like to do. The prediction cover, the plot and abstract cover, the plot in montage cover, the design cover. And we evaluated a bunch of different comics covers. Let's see, was Kevin in on this one? Yeah, Kevin was a host at that time. I guess he would have had to been because it was over a year ago that we launched Art and Story Supreme. So we talked about all these different covers, but the interesting thing that's really changing rapidly in our beloved medium, in our industry, in our field, is we're moving more and more away from the monthly floppy. And a lot of the tricks that were developed for the monthly floppy were kind of an answer to trying to catch the attention of the reader on a weekly basis amongst a whole bunch of other exciting covers. And let's face it, 20 years ago, the majority of comics fiction that was consumed was adventure fiction, superhero fiction, fantasy fiction. There's a wider world of comics out there now, thank goodness. Whether it's a a Peter Bagg-inspired sort of autobio or semi-autobio comic, or whether it is a historical fiction story, you know that there's all kinds out there nowadays. And so that brings up a whole new... And here's the other thing I was going to bring into this is nowadays, floppies aren't necessarily what we're aiming for with our books. We want our books to be carried in more places like bookstores, libraries, as well as comic stores. And the problem there is that most bookstores and libraries only want to carry perfect bound collections or graphic novels. And this brings up a whole nother ball of wax in terms of designing covers, which I want to dig into more deeply. And I want to get a discussion started with you guys about is how does this change the way we think about covers? Case in point, if you look at the original cover to The Front Rebirth, which is on Indie Planet, I can link to that in the show notes too. The original cover I designed more like a traditional monthly floppy cover. I make no secret about how Crisis on Infinite Earths was a very influential series on me, and I love those George Perez covers with a million characters all doing things, and these kind of and some of the montage covers, the one in particular that I posted in the show notes for episode 128 of Art and Story, used Crisis number 3, the comic that made me say I want to be a comics artist. And so the original cover of The Front was very much inspired by that. I had all the major players in the story all on the cover at the same time. And it was very busy. And when I took it to shows, I noticed that people didn't really land on that cover and look at it very much. Very few people picked up the book and flipped through it. And I know I've told this story before. There was a night where Mark was hanging out in Art and Story Studios South now, what's called Art and Story Studios South. And he was walking me through, like, what's wrong with the cover of The Front Rebirth? And I was saying, well, I want to reprint it as a slightly smaller sized volume, more like akin to a manga sized volume, just to increase the chances of more libraries carrying it. And also for kids to recognize that this is something for them, because most of the stuff they read is that size. And so we took the opportunity to look at and reevaluate what that cover design looks like. And through a lot of discussion between me and Mark and my wife, Anne, she's been had been telling me the same thing for years, that you need to simplify it. This is a graphic novel. This is you're not selling the one climactic action of the story. You're selling sort of like an ethos of the story. What is the story ultimately about? And how can you create a simple, eye-catching graphic that reflects that? What I currently had, or what I had up to that point, was something that emphasized Titanic action. Well, the Titanic action doesn't really happen until chapter 6. There's a lot of slapstick and comedy action leading up to that, and there's some heavy moments interspersed, but the really heavy stuff doesn't happen until chapter 6. That means there's 5 chapters that are not being represented by that cover. How can I represent the Titanic action and the comedy and the sort of irreverence of the action adventure in the story? And so we went back to, funny enough, an old drawing that I did of the characters, which I used as a desktop image on the Make Like a Tree Comics website years ago, which was originally going to be the cover of the trade paperback when I finished it. But I decided against it because I thought, nah, it's too simple. It's not descriptive enough of the mythical kind of high adventure stuff that happens in there. But Ann and Mark talked me back down to that original cover again, and I put that cover on where it's Jared, the abominable snowman, smashing out of the ground, thirsty, and his friends running away in terror from Jared. And I've noticed an uptake in sales on at shows. Whenever I'm tabling with the books, the book actually gets picked up a lot more often now. So when I went to SPX last year, I sold a lot more copies of the front there than I've ever sold at a comic show. So what I'm driving at here with this anecdote is that this whole idea of the trade paperback graphic novel has presented a whole new realm of possibilities in terms of cover design. And the traditional floppy cover, I may have said this elsewhere, I think is comparatively garish. And so what needs to be done is a full investigation, or the beginnings of a full investigation, of what people are doing right now. Let's look at some high-selling books and see what they've done with their covers. Let's look at some other book media or print media, like books, magazines. Well, maybe not magazines as much, but like books and art books and even movies, to see what they do with their covers, to see what can be mined there for creating covers for our graphic novels. And there's a whole nother level of this. Let's look at web design. Let's look at what people do with web pages for web comics. That's another whole situation where you don't want things to be too busy, right? You want the attention to be on the webcomic itself. So how can we investigate that design aesthetic and sort of map some of the takeaways from that onto a trade paperback cover design? Are there any crossovers? I bet there are. I haven't thought about it in great detail yet. But roping back to my earlier sort of call to action, is this a cover design Storyer's challenge would be a great way for us to intuitively investigate this idea of cover design, not analytically, not in a step-by-step process, but just get in there and do it and see what we find. Let's just draw and have fun drawing, and then look at the covers that we do after the fact to see what it is that we glean from it. And then having the artist defend what they've done. And when I say defend, I don't mean like a full-on art school critique where somebody's, you know, challenging you, whether or not you're any good at this kind of thing. But have you intellectually justify all the choices that you made on your cover? That would be an interesting thinking exercise to get us thinking more deeply about how we think about designing covers. And in reinterpreting other people's covers, like let's say if, you know, Mark were to do the cover to The Front Rebirth, and if I was to do the cover to John Oxbow, etc., we might be able to shine a light for some other authors on points of consideration for future projects. I think that would be an enormous intellectual exercise to participate in on the site. So if you are interested, you can respond to the thread that Jamie may have posted. If not, I'll have posted something, or maybe you guys can post something in the forum. Artandstorypodcast.com. You're there now if you're listening to this, I'm sure. But let's set a timeline for this thing. Let's suggest some people who has some finished books and finished covers that would be worth throwing in. I mean, obviously we don't want to just draw somebody's cover without their consent, just because that's roping them into the contest. I mean, you know, you under fair use are allowed to reinterpret somebody's cover as long as you don't sell it. But just for the sake of kindness and respect, let's make sure that everybody who's any cover that you're drawing, you've gotten the consent of the original creator so that they can participate in this project. Even if they're not actually drawing anything, they can participate in the discussions afterwards. Just because, you know, I'm just thinking about the person who's going to be like, hey, are you saying that you could have done it better than me? That's not nice. Anyway, something to think about today. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thanks so much for supporting us in this project. We couldn't do it without you. Welcome to the new subscribers. Thank you for signing up. I hope you like what you find there. And more neat stuff to come. More Thunder Punch specials that I've got lined up in the near future. And more interesting thoughts that I've got in my notebook for sharing on Thunder Punch Daily. And about a lot of things. But that's yet to come. So, I'll be back soon with more of this Thunder Punch Daily stuff. And until then, remember everybody.
In today's story, you saw how the Widgets were fooled by Evil Lynn's disguise. They learned that bad things can be made to look good, and why we should always be careful and question everything that doesn't seem right. But it works both ways, and that's why the saying you can't judge a book by its cover is so important. What it means is that appearances can be deceiving, and you shouldn't judge books or people by the way they look. It's what's inside that really counts.